Amen. Thank you, Pours. What a blessing. Good song. And, you know, that is what it's all about. He should be glorified in our lives, in our church. He is the one that receives the glory. And I hope your life is bringing glory to God. And I hope our church is doing the same. That's exactly what we should be doing. I love that. I love this passage. I like this whole passage of scripture here. And Deuteronomy is, there's a lot of deep things in it. There's a lot of exciting things as well. And I love the text. Our text is verse 23. It says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." God had something for him that was, it was wonderful. God had something for him that was beyond anything they could imagine. The promised land. I got news for you. God has something for you too. It's beyond anything you could even imagine. But notice he had to bring them out in order to bring them in. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. He brought us out to bring us in. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching today. I thank you for the music and the last song and all the songs have been such a blessing. Just speak to my heart. I thank you for that. And I pray that you will work in our hearts today, that we'll listen and we'll be different because of today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He brought us out to bring us in. That's what it says here about the Jews. We know the story. We know what all they went through. They were slaves in Egypt, and they were in bondage to the Egyptians. Terrible, terrible life. Unbelievable. They had prayed. They had begged God. And yet, it just seemed like such a difficult thing to get them out. I compare that with salvation, and it's amazing how difficult it is to convince people they need to get saved. It amazes me. And the problem is getting them to realize they're lost. I think about, how God had to just keep showing his people. He had to keep showing them he's God. And he had to keep showing the Egyptians, "Hey, I've got this thing under control. I'm God." And the plagues, what an amazing thing to watch those plagues that God sends. Finally, Egypt says, "Get out of here." You know, they get them out of here. We don't want them anymore. And God had to bring them out. He had to bring out his people so he could bring them in. They could not go into all that God had for them until they first came out. I want to tell you something. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to understand you are going to have to come out of being lost and to come into getting saved. You are going to have to realize that without Jesus Christ, you are destined to a place called hell. You're going to have to come out of that and into, in order for God to bring you into the eternal life of salvation. But I'll get into that in just a minute. And you are, you know, maybe you're going to have to be convinced today that, this place where you are, that's what it took for me. When I was 17 years old, I had to be convinced that my life was going nowhere. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was without Christ. And if I died like that, I was going to go to hell for all eternity. And he had to bring me out of that in order to bring me in to all the wonderful things. Can you imagine, children of Israel, what a wonderful plan God had for them. What an amazing plan God had called the Promised Land. What a wonderful life he had for them. But he had to get them out first in order to bring them in. You know, life is full of outs and ins, and we can understand it very clearly. We can give illustrations all day long. When you got here, you had to get out of your car in order to get into the white parking lot. Don't you like our white parking lot? It's fun to watch people try to park, especially the first car, because you can't see the stripes, because they were already just about gone, right? And we'll get all that done this year. But, you know, it's fun to watch. And I watch people try to park. Kathy Morin's the funniest person to try to watch, because I don't know if she can even see over the front of her car. And so it's fun to watch. You know, where are those lines? Well, especially with all the salt. But in order to get, you know, to get in that parking lot, first you got to get out of your car, right? And then you have to get out of the parking lot in order to come into the church. Once you go out of the parking lot, you come into the church. And obviously, if you're in the parking lot, you're not in the church. See, this is deep, isn't it? Well, you say, "Wow, I'm understanding. I'm taking notes." Good, good. Praise the Lord. And if you're in your car, you're not in the church. Don't drive your car into the church. All right, we don't. That'd really mess up the carpet and the tile and everything. But understand, you have to come out in order to come in. See how deep this is? this ought to be a junior church lesson, right? But that's just exactly the way God worded it for his people. And that's exactly how it is for you and I. Everything God has for us, we have to leave something in order to go to what it is God has for us. Obviously, you know, it doesn't end with coming out of Egypt. Children of Israel, they then have to enter into, they have to cross over the Jordan River into that promised land. Well, they had to leave what they had in order to go into what they could have. And Christians, fine, listen, in your life, you get saved. Yes, you get baptized. Praise the Lord. Yes, you join the church. Wonderful. Understand, God has a wonderful life for you. Pictured over and over in the scriptures, coming out of one thing to go into another thing. A good example, Noah's Ark. You know, Noah's Ark is a wonderful picture of salvation. How that ark, it's spared Noah and his family. And if anybody else would have gone in, they would have been saved by the flood that took place. But then the time came when the flood had ended, the time came, God said, Noah, get out. You know, he had to get out of the ark. He could have stayed in the ark the rest of his life. Boy, it would have stunk. I mean, think about all the... Anyway, we won't get into that, but that's the way some of our lives are. God has something else for you. He has the next step. He has the Jordan River to cross. He has things and plans and his will for our lives that we have to come out of where we were in order to go into what he has for us. And it just keeps happening all the time. And the simplest way, I guess, is you're not in your car right now. Amen? You had to get out of your car. You had to get out of the parking lot. You had to get out of the foyer in order to come in to the auditorium. And if you'll just look at your life, maybe you're here and you're not saved. You're going to have to come out of being lost and on your way to hell in order to come into eternal life. You're going to have to come to Jesus and say, I've sinned against you, Lord, and I know that I deserve punishment for my sin, but I call upon Jesus to save me. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. Nobody has to go to hell. Isn't that wonderful? And you need to be saved. But again, this passage, God brought Israel out. And you see it in verse 21 and all over this passage. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, he said, teach your children this. He said, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. What's that mean? We were slaves. Said, we were slaves. By the way, when you're lost, you're a slave. You have no choice. Oh, yes, I do. I have a choice. No, you don't. Sin controls your life. Now, you may not be a murderer. You may not be an adulterer. You may not be involved in what we call the real bad sins, but sin controls your life. You have no control over it. You're a slave and a bondman, just like the children of Israel were. But it says, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Amen. And listen to me. When I got saved, God did it with a mighty hand. All I had to do is call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm telling you, God will bring you out in order to bring you in. I often think of my life and what all God has done and how many wonderful things God has done. But I've seen in my life so many times God had to bring me out of this in order to bring me into this. He had to bring me out of that in order to bring me into this. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. If you're not saved today, you ought to come out of being lost and come into eternal life. And God does so many things. Let me just get into the message. You know, let me tell you this. If God brought you out of it, whatever he brought you into is a wonderful, wonderful place. Amen. I mean, to be a child of the King today, I'm so thrilled about that. I'm a child of the King. Amen. And he has a wonderful, wonderful future for me in heaven, but he's not done with me here. You say, how do you know? Because my heart's still beating. Amen. Check your pulse, see if you're alive. Amen. That means, hey, you're not supposed to be dead if you're still alive. That's awful deep. Number one, he brought us out of death and brought us into life. That's the lost man's future, death in hell. We're in the book of Revelation. We're getting toward the end of it, and we're talking about death and hell. We're cast in the lake of fire. You understand, for the lost person, death in hell is not the end, because they will be resurrected to face the judge, and the books will be open, and they are guilty because they refused the payment that God provided when he sent his son to die on the cross. What an amazing thing, you know, that people would refuse that. Well, God said, I will bring you out of death to bring you into life. Look at John 5, verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, get it, hath everlasting life. Amen. He has it. When does it take place? When you get saved. You have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And when I was 17 years old, I called upon Jesus to forgive me and save me. And according to the words of Jesus Christ, at that point, I hath everlasting life. That means my life is everlasting. When does everlasting life end? It can't, can it? It's everlasting. That's by definition. That's what it is. Oh, you have all these folks today that say, well, you got to keep doing this. You got to keep. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says that you have it. It is yours now. It is different from everlasting death. It is everlasting life. It is a whole different thing. And I was brought out of that old death and I was brought into life. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. When they sinned, the Bible's made it very clear that the punishment for sin is this thing called death. And death always means separation from something, the body from the soul. But when it talks about hell, it's talking about separation from God. And sin separated man from God Almighty. God said, and God calls it death. By the way, that is death. You know, there's a whole lot of people today say, I don't need God. I don't want God. Let me tell you, you're missing out on God. You're missing out on love because God is love. You're missing out on goodness because God is good. All these things you're missing out on when you say, I don't need God. But more than anything else, you're missing out on eternal life. Because without him, there is no eternal life. There is only death. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 1. I'm going fast because I want you to get a chance to eat lunch today. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Another good passage says, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who's that? That's me. That's you if you're saved. He gave us life who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Talking about Satan, we simply were his slaves doing what he bid. And he said, but the thing is, it says that about me. I was that, but now I was brought out of that. I no longer am dead in trespasses and sins. Now I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. And boy, there's such a difference. The difference, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's such a difference being as opposed to dead and being alive. We could ask Lazarus the difference. You remember Lazarus, don't you? He was dead. I've said this before. I've said it at funerals before. Jesus spoiled every funeral he went to. Every funeral. Doesn't matter how the body was embalmed. Doesn't matter what all happened. Every funeral Jesus went to, read it in your Bible, he ruined it. Why? Because the dead person rose from the dead. And Lazarus, I mean, honestly, you know, the Bible says, Lazarus! Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth! He'd been dead. There was no question. The people said, Lord, by now, surely he stinketh. You know, his body's got to be starting to rot. I mean, honestly, they didn't have the modern technology of embalming as we do today. And they thought, oh, man, what is Jesus doing? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he spoke, and he came from death to life. Now, I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't say, and we'll get to watch the DVD of it when we get to heaven. But imagine Lazarus coming forth. You suppose he was excited? I guarantee he was a lot happier than you look today. hey, here's a man that came from the tomb of death, and he came to life, and he came out, and I guarantee he's excited. And when he sang Amazing Grace, he shouted and he smiled. And you know, the average Christian's kind of like, oh. He brought us out of death to bring us in to life. Seems like we ought to maybe get excited about it every now and then, huh? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm working on it. Okay, Lazarus didn't work. By the way, he was raised from the dead. He was dead. He came out of death in order to live, and he didn't stay in the cemetery. Right? You suppose he said, you know what, I lived in this tomb for several days, and I've kind of grown accustomed to it. It's sad, a lot of Christians do. Lazarus came out. Amen. He said, I'm not dead. You know, those that live in the tombs are the demoniac of Gadara. He lived in the tombs. I don't know. To be honest with you, my mom used to like going to this little Indian graveyard and have picnics when we were little. It bothered me. There was a nice little creek running back there, or crick for Hoosiers, you know. But it was a real peaceful spot, but I didn't like it. I kept thinking Indian ghosts were going to come and scalp me, which maybe they did. You say, you don't have to worry anymore. No, I would. They would not be interested in me. Hey, you know, ask Lazarus about coming out from being dead and getting alive again. I guarantee he got on his cell phone and he texted everybody and said, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. And his Facebook account lit up. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. And you know, some of the folks that were still alive probably said to him, where are you going to go? I guarantee one thing. He said, I'm out of here. Hey, Christian, get your life out of the tombs and get your life into the next step God has for you. He didn't raise Lazarus so that he could act dead. He raised him so he could live. And what about the widow's son in Luke 7? We'll not turn there, but the widow's son. Here's a young man who was dead, and he was brought to life. Amen. How about Jairus' daughter? Just read that in my devotions last week. And old Jairus' daughter, you know, he had faith and believed, and God raised her up. You don't suppose she said, you know, I kind of like this. Who likes that? But I see a lot of Christians kind of wanting to live that kind of life. Hey, when he took you out of Egypt, be glad. Amen. Glory to God. Go to the promised land. Don't dream about Egypt. Don't think about Egypt. Don't lust after Egypt. Say, hallelujah, glory to God. I was dead, but I'm alive, and I'm alive to live for Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you, Dale. Number one, he's brought out of death, brought into life. Number two, brought out of darkness and brought into light. Boy, what a difference. Amen. I'm going to get somebody happy here today. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, look at it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Look at all those things we are. Talking about Christians. This is all the things we were. Huh? Again, chosen generation. Yippee. Huh. Royal priesthood. Oh boy. Holy nation. I don't like that. Peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him. What did he do? Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he did for me. He took me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that means I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. Why? Because I don't dwell in darkness. The world looks at us and they think we're weird. I think they're weird. Amen. Some of you need to tell you're in church. Explain it to yourself today. Huh? I mean, seriously, we came out of darkness into light. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are what? Evil. Yeah, that's what darkness is all about. You watch the world today, it's all dark. Everything's dark. Yeah, you know, all kinds of sin takes place in the dark. Darkness pictures a lot of things, and there are things we don't like. Darkness pictures sorrow. What's everybody, you go to a funeral, what do you wear? You don't wear bright clothes. Everybody wears dark. You know, the widow, she has to wear black. Oh, yes, we have to wear black. Well, you haven't been to one of our funerals. And I don't pay attention to what everybody wears. But I'll be honest with you. We don't have a dark service for a Christian funeral. Amen. We got up and we sang Jack Hint's funeral. We got up and we sang, I'll meet you in the morning. Amen. With a how do you do. We're singing. We're smiling. Amen. Oh, there's tears. Sure. But it's not a say. Listen to me. We came out of darkness. Come on. Darkness. Sorrow is darkness. Fear. Boy, remember when you were little? Everything's scary. In the dark. Isn't it amazing how under the bed became so terrible in the dark? During the day, I had all my precious things under the bed, including lots of dust. Amen. I mean, everything. You know, I had stuff because I had to hide it from my sister. Candy, ants. Anyway, but isn't it amazing how in the dark, all of a sudden under the bed's dangerous? Monsters are under the bed. You knew that, didn't you? You know, the basement. What, you know, it's no big deal when the lights are all on and everything, but let it get dark. It's amazing how church people say, I was a little scared. It was dark in the church. It's a church. What are you worried about? I don't know. It's just dark. Dark brings fear. Oh, stumbling in the dark. You know, we all these years, we our bedroom's upstairs of the house. And all these years, we have a rail that in the little landing there above the stairs. And I always walk by that, and I never turn lights on. We don't like at nighttime when it's bedtime, we like to keep it dark. Men love darkness rather than light. It's my wife's idea. But anyway, and this rail, it's about this high. And I often think, you know, one of these days I'm going to stumble, I'm going to fall over that and break my neck. Now, one time my wife pushed me down the stairs. But this is going to be different. And I always think, you know, all it's going to take, and when you think about going downstairs, what do? You know, you trip a little bit or something. It's like, whew, boy, that was close. But it's just because it's dark. We stumble at night and in the dark. All kinds of gloomy. What's the difference? Isn't it nice to look out and actually the stained glass is kind of shiny and not gloomy looking, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, the Lord brought us out of darkness. Amen. Tell you. Amen. Because light is the opposite of darkness. There's nothing more cheerful than a sunny day, unless you're trying to take a nap. Light, the Bible talks about light. Light gives understanding. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Light is always, it's always positive things. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, it's just such a positive thing. And he brought me out of darkness so that he could bring me into light. That's something to be excited about. You say today, I'm not interested in those kind of things. It's because you're in darkness. That's because you cannot begin to understand what I'm talking about. That's why, honestly, Christian, we need to let people know that it is different. I can frown with the best of them, right, Seca? It is different. You know, it needs to be obvious to this old world that he brought us out to bring us in. Not that we're any better than anybody else. We're in a different position. All right, I got to keep moving. Look, 3, he brought us out of bondage so that he could bring us into freedom. Had to, you know, that's what he did with the children of Israel. Had to take them from slavery so they could be free. You can't be both. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Look at it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Great, great verse. I love the song. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. Oh, he's made us free. Stand fast in the liberty. We're free. Isn't that wonderful? The bondage that sin causes in our lives and those that were, and we understand it by addictions and alcohol, drugs, sex, all those kind of, where people become addicted. But it's any kind of sin that has chains upon a man. But boy, when you get saved, I remember getting saved and I knew I was free. I was free. Not free to do whatever I want to do. Free to do whatever he wants me to do. Free to live and to do right. And I no longer have to sin. Oh, sometimes I blow it. We all do. But I don't have to. Thank God I'm free. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And verse 17, Acts 5 and verse 17. He brought us out of bondage to bring us into freedom. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is of the sect. Wait a minute, is that it? Wait a minute. Let me look. Yes. All right. The sect of the Sadducees and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You understand, the chains of man and the chains of sin and the chains of the devil cannot hold us if God brings us out. They can't do anything to us if God brings us out. And I'm telling you, the devil is not happy that he lost you when you got saved. There's folks got saved, haven't been saved that long. And when you got saved, the devil, he got really upset. Because when God brings you out of bondage, it's kind of like Pharaoh. Remember how Pharaoh was upset as the children of Israel are leaving? I mean, he went through all the 10 plagues. He had his firstborn die. I mean, he's upset. He said, get out of here. Well, they take off, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh thinks about, you know what? I'm going to kill them all. And he chases after them. Amen. That's the way the devil's doing right now. He chases after. Boy, he does not like it. Why? Because he had you. He had me. But he didn't have me anymore. Because God brought me out of bondage to bring me in to freedom. Praise the Lord. Number four, he brought us out of the world and brought us into the heavenlies. I love this. I love this. You know, the world, seriously, and when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the cosmos. That is the system that hates God. And so many people are just kind of following along with that. I mean, you read about it in the newspaper. I try not to read it. It drives me nuts sometimes. But they look at it, they think, you people are weird. You know, you Christians, you've got problems. And I'm not saying all Christians do have problems, but I mean, we just, you know, God brought us out of that. I don't think that way anymore. I don't have to do whatever the world says anymore. I'm not addicted to worldly things where I have to do them. I've heard people say, well, you know, you have to watch this program. No, I don't have to watch this program. Well, you have to think this. I don't have to think anyway. I've got my Bible and I can follow the Lord and what he says. And God brought me out of the world. Notice John 17, the prayer of Jesus for us. John 17, 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, talking about Judas. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's saying, we're not of the world anymore. We can really have joy. The world only can rejoice when things are going well, but the Christian, God's people, we can rejoice all the time. Tell yourself that. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What's that mean? It means set them apart. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out of the world so that we can walk different. Amen. We don't, hey, you know, when I read the paper and I see all the bad stuff and I realize people are getting their heads cut off all over the place, and I've grown very attached to mine, thank you. But I hear about all that stuff, I'm not going to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because he brought me out. He brought me out of worry. He brought me out of all that kind of stuff. And he brought me into the heavenlies, is what I call it. Look at it, Ephesians 2, verse 6. Here's the heavenlies. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6 and verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. Many of you have that memorized, Matthew 6 and verse 9. I preached on this one time, and it's a great, great truth. Matthew 6 and verse 9. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Notice what he says here. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's he talking about? He's talking about God's will being done not only in heaven. God's will is always being done. How about on earth? Well, he said that's the way it should be. I should be living my life on earth just like I'm going to live my life in heaven. Hey, you're reading material. Can you read the same thing that you read here on earth? Will you be able to read that in heaven? Your TV watching, same thing. Your lifestyle, same thing. I'm just saying, that's what he said. He said you can live a life like in heaven while you're here on this earth. You don't have to give in to all the world and go through all that junk and everything. Hey, we have a mansion waiting for us. We have an inheritance waiting for us. Live like that. That's what it's going to be. So I watch Christians sometimes kind of like, I think, did you know he brought you out of the world to bring you in to the heavenlies? You can live excited. You can be on fire for God. You can be thrilled with life. Amen. You know, it's physically here on this earth, but in my heart and my mind, I'm going to heaven someday. That's, you say, you know, I just can't get in that mind. Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Because if you don't, no wonder. Hey, if your TV watching is more than you're talking to God and pray and reading your Bible, then more than likely you're going to reflect, whatever you do most of the time. He brought us out of the world to bring us into the heavenlies. And the Apostle Paul, you know, there were times he talked like, you know, I don't know which one I want to do. He was that excited. You know, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I want to depart to be with Christ. It's far better, but I don't want to leave people behind. Do you ever kind of think like that? Or are we just holding on to the old world so much? Well, he brought us out to bring us in. I thank God over and over and over again. He brought me out of the world. He saved my soul. And I'm not hooked on any of the stuff that I was. The lifestyle, the cussing and swearing, the direction that I was headed. Thank God. Let me give you a couple more. Number five, he brought us out of worthlessness and brought us into being used. I love that. Mark 1, verse 16. You hear people all the time, I just don't get it. I don't understand the purpose of life. You know what? If your mindset is a worldly mindset, you never will. You never will. Honestly. You know, we buy cars and they rust. They fall apart. We buy a house, it falls apart. All the things we spend our money on, it all falls apart. Bible says lay up treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust, it can't corrupt. It's impossible. There's no rust in heaven. And so he brought us out of worthlessness and brought us into being used by God or a life of service. Mark 1 and verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, the point is, we've never heard of a fish ever getting saved. You ever witnessed to a fish? Anybody? I've caught a few of them. I always hate it when they swallow the hook. I won't get into that. Maybe you're going to have fish later on. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, I've got something better for you. You can serve me. Now, you know, God doesn't tell everybody to quit their regular job. And you know, he didn't. Certainly, there are many illustrations of people that had jobs in the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. But the whole idea is he brought us out of feeling worthless to bring us into being able to do something for God. I think I was thinking about all the men pulling those that carpet out there last year. How much fun that was. But what a blessing it was to be able to serve God. I think about times we've sanded buses before and sanded buses so that little kids, eventually that bus could get painted and little kids could come and ride to church and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And many of those children are now out serving God somewhere. That's a life of purpose there. Amen. I'm thinking about, Dale Bowman. I think about the Reformers Unanimous program here at the church and how sitting at the fair and sitting in that booth and it's 90 degrees inside there and that little fan blowing on them, you know, and they're sitting there just waiting on somebody to come that they can talk to about their addiction that they may have and the chains that the devil's put on them and they want to help God set them free. But there was a time that you were on that other side. But he brought you out. And maybe you sit here today, even as a Christian, you say, you know, my life just doesn't have any purpose. There's so much you could be doing for God. We have so much to do and so little time. You know, unsaved have no purpose. They may have money, prestige. You know, I watch these guys, they're playing basketball, making millions, baseball, making millions, football, making millions. And I think, but what's your purpose in life? Just to make millions? Yeah, so I can have a ring on every finger. Okay, you ran out of fingers. What are you going to do, grow one? You know, well, I'll start putting rings on my toes. Well, that's uncomfortable in the shoes. You know, worthless. Until you trust Christ. I'm telling you, I did a lot of things as a young teenager. I did a lot of things but never was there anything like being able to serve God. And my whole life changed when I went out there. The first thing I did for God as a new Christian is to go out and paint that swing set. You've heard the story, I'm not gonna tell it again. But 40 degree weather, to go out and paint that swing set, my life was changed. Because I had a purpose. Amen. The last thing today is brought out of loneliness and brought into fellowship. There's nothing like the church. Nothing. Nothing like it at all. I know it's not perfect because it's full of people. I've often said if we get rid of all the people, we'd have a perfect church. Okay. Boy, it's a tough crowd today. I can tell we've been snowed in. We need to have cookies afterwards or something. But look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just about done. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It is absolutely one of the most amazing things, the New Testament church. We have folks from all walks of life. We come together. We sing praises. We have preaching. Sometimes we get excited about things of God. We go out and serve God. We tear carpet up. We paint walls. We run buses. We do vacation Bible school. That incorporates pretty much anything and everything in this whole world we do. And we work with the Shepherd's Ministry, folks that most of the world doesn't really care a whole lot about. And we love them and have a whole ministry going on over in the school doing that right now. We love little children. Little children, they'll curse at us and we love them. And they'll vomit on us and we love them. And they'll throw things at us and we just keep loving them. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, it just all works. And here's why. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, because God brought us out of loneliness and brought us into fellowship. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's us. That's here right now. For the body is not one member, but many. Just like our body, I have a finger, and then I have a finger, and then I have a toe. I'll not take off my shoes. And I have a leg over here, and I have an arm over here, and I have an ear over here, and I have an eye. There's many members, all right? And it says, I am not of the body, is it therefore, I'm sorry, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, the foot's just as much, just because it's not a hand, it's still part of the body. Nod your heads. Okay, we're close. I hear your guts growling. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not? Yeah, the ear. Sure, we like our ears, right? Just because the ear is not an eye. By the way, if the ear was an eye, wouldn't that look funny if you had an ear here? Okay, some of you will not smile for anything, right? Okay. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hair? Can you imagine if our whole body was an eye? Well, we wouldn't be able to hear. And if the whole body, we wouldn't be able to talk. In fact, we wouldn't be able to walk, we'd roll. Okay. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? There's a good point, because you can't smell with your ear. Try. Several of you did. That's hilarious. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You know, honestly, every one of us has really looked at our ear at one time and said, why does it look like that? Well, it pleased him. And there's folks that talk about their nose and say, you know, it doesn't look right. Well, but it pleased him. And he put us here in the body as it pleased him. Not everybody's a foot. Thank God, because we need hands. Not everybody's an eye. Praise the Lord, because we need a nose. Start to say noses. Anyway. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Right? See, so the body is a whole bunch of members. And that's why, you know, God brought us out of nothing, loneliness, and he brought us into a body. Amen. There are no strangers amongst Christians. We were down in Barbados, thousands of miles away from here. And those Christians, it was like we were here. They spoke kind of funny and they drive on the wrong side of the road, but it was just like we were right here. I watched my wife. She's ladies are hugging her and we're shaking hands, you know, and people are smiling and we sang all the same songs. And we were, do you understand? We're a huge family. But bigger than that, we're a body. And there's no strangers amongst Christians. You ever think about this? Your foot and your hand have the same DNA. You didn't know I knew so much about science, did you? You don't have to be lonely as a Christian. Ever. You know, don't let the devil divide you away from these people. Don't let him keep you away from this group. Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. People that get out of church and start missing a lot, you know what? They say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm a part. That's because you cut off the foot and you put it somewhere else. Be a part. You never have to be lonely. There's so much to do. I love our ministries. We could have so many ministries. I think about moms with tots, you know? moms with it. Well, you know, why do you have, what's spiritual about moms with tots? What's not spiritual about moms? It's a group of Christian ladies that get together and they bring their children. The children have a big room they can play in, and the moms try to talk while the kids play. And they fellowship. Anyway, and they have a wonderful time together. Are y'all listening? All right. You know, you're part of a great body, but you had to be brought out of loneliness. You're here today without Christ. You're lonely. You say, I got parties and friends. Yeah, you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what it could be like. People say, what are you so excited about? Because he brought me out so he could bring me in. And I want to challenge you today. You know, what's the next step? God has so much for us. You know, maybe he needs to bring you out of apathy. Amen. And bring you into purpose. Amen. I don't know what it might be, but he brought us out to bring us in. Maybe you're here today without Christ, never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not sure you're going to heaven when you die. You don't have to leave here that way. God will bring you out of being lost and bring you in to being saved. That's what he did to me at the age of 17. I have absolutely no regrets. And all these things are true. Could have preached all day long on the same subject, but he brought us out to bring us in. Why don't you get saved today, Christian? Why don't you take that next step?